This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest right now? Are you feeling lonely, unappreciated, or misunderstood? When you keep these feelings bottled up, they can affect you negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's a great way to increase your self-awareness, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/beherenow.
Jaya Hanuman, Ati Balavan, Ram Nam Rasiyare, Prabhu Mana Basiyare. Jaya Hanuman means victory to Hanuman. Ati Balavan means he's extraordinarily strong. In fact, however strong you think he is, he's way stronger, way far stronger than that. Jaya Hanuman, Ati Balavan, Ram Nam Rasiyare. He gets his juice from the name of Rama, Rama Nama. Prabhu Manabasiyare, O Lord Hanuman, please come and sit in my mind.
Welcome to Living with Reality, a podcast featuring archived teachings and modern conversations with Dr. Robert Svoboda, brought to you by the Be Here Now Network. Living with Reality explores Ayurveda and other wisdom traditions of India, which Dr. Svoboda has been studying for nearly 50 years. For more information, please visit beherenownetwork.com/Dr. Svoboda. That's DRSVOBODA. Hello, and welcome to Living with Reality. I'm Paula Crossfield, your host, and Dr. Svoboda's business manager. So I've helped him to create all the courses that you see when you go to drsvoboda.teachable.com. And I help him overall with his media presence so that you get all of his awesome, juicy content online wherever you hang out. So this episode is all about Hanuman. It is about the stories of Hanuman. And you may have heard these in the past because this is a rebroadcast of something we did live about a year and a half ago. But it's the perfect time of year to just sink in with a cup of tea and listen to these stories again. I find that I can't get enough myself. And I think that you'll really enjoy the retelling of these stories. If you'd like to learn more with Dr. Svoboda, he has, like I said, many, many courses. If you go to drsvoboda.teachable.com/courses, that's drsvoboda.teachable.com/courses. You can even use the search function to type in Hanuman and you'll find a course called Prana, Pranayama, and Hanuman. And inside this course, he talks a lot about Hanuman and his origin story, goes a little bit deeper and teaches you a little bit about the Chalisa. There's a whole talk about it and its importance and the meaning behind it. So we hope you enjoy this episode and have a wonderful end of 2022.
Namaste. And Jaya Hanuman. Welcome to this storytelling session dedicated to Hanuman. Dedicated to Hanuman because today is Hanuman Jayanti, the Hanuman's birthday. And so what better day to salute Hanuman? And we're going to sing a Hanumanji, a little birthday song. instead of happy birthday, it will be sort of kind of the equivalent of happy birthday, because it's a song that is dedicated to him. And that song is called Jaya Hanuman. And it goes this way. Jaya Hanuman, Ati Balavan, Ram Nam Rasiyare, Prabhu Mana Basiyare. Jaya Hanuman means victory to Hanuman. Ati Balavan means he's extraordinarily strong. In fact, however strong you think he is, he's way stronger, way far stronger than that. Jaya Hanuman, Ati Balavan, Ram Nam Rasiyare. He gets his juice from the name of Rama, Rama Nama. Prabhu Manabasiyare, O Lord Hanuman, please come and sit in my mind. So that's what we're going to request Hanuman to do. And as is traditional when telling the story of the Ramayana, we specially invite Hanuman to come and sit, because that is the thing that he most likes to do. He most likes to hear the Ramayana. And he likes to hear the Ramayana, not because he wants to hear about his own story, but because he is focused always and eternally on Rama. And anything that has to do with Rama, anything that will help him remember Rama, is something he likes to do. So, of course, Hanuman is traditionally regarded as being a monkey, and in fact, a type of langura monkey. A langura, there are two major types of monkeys in India. One is the bandar, or the lal bandar, and they are, unfortunately, they tend to, when they are around humans too much, they take bad qualities from the humans and become criminals, and they are very they terrify people all the time. The langura, on the other hand, is vegetarian, is generally ignores humans, though they will occasionally steal food from them. In fact, one stole a banana from my sister many years ago when she visited Elephanta Island in Bombay Harbor. So we know that langurs are fond of fruit. So what I've done here is I put a little place where there is a banana plant. It's a symbolic banana plant, no doubt. But that's going to be the place where Hanuman is going to be invited and to sit. So we're inviting him right now to sit there. We've sung happy birthday to him. And we're going to request him to sit there while we tell the story of his life and what he did for Rama. And so his life, of course, begins with his birth. My mentor, Vimalananda, always liked to call Hanuman Anjaneya. Anjaneya is a name that is derived from the name of his mother, Anjani. And because aside from Rama, the only other person that Hanuman ever paid attention to, I mean, he was very fond of Lakshman and Sita, and he would always do whatever Rama told him to do, and he would serve Lakshman and Sita in whatever way he was told to do. But of course, he was very fond of his mother, just like any child is fond of their mother, especially when they have such a wonderful mother as Anjani. So the story goes that when he was born, he was born already very strong. And he was a monkey, a very powerful monkey, no doubt. But it is the case that many animals, when they are born, They're not like human babies. They can do things very soon after they're born, like a foal, a small horse, within just a few hours of being born, can get up and run around. Now, Hanuman was something beyond all of that. So when he was born, he was not only ready to move around and eat and so on as soon as he was born, he was ready to do heroic things right from that moment. And of course, he had just been born, so he didn't know everything about how the world was arranged. So he was born and he was looking around and he saw, my goodness, everything is there in the world. And what an interesting thing that is. And he saw the sun, the rising sun. And the color of the sun is red. And if you see images of Hanuman in India, they will usually be red or slightly a little more orange than this color, because they've been coated with a particular type of red substance. Because his image, he's always regarded as being red. Red means powerful and strong and heroic. And red is the color of Tuesday. And today is, at least where I am, and in fact, still in India, because the sun has not risen yet, today is still Tuesday. And the color of Mars, who rules Tuesday, the color of Mars is red. So that's why I'm wearing red. And so he saw the sun, and the sun was red. It was coming up, and it looked like a very large, attractive red fruit. And because he had just been born, he was hungry. And being an immensely powerful monkey, he thought to himself, he had just been born. So he was not, his rational mind was not completely thinking clearly yet. So he thought to himself, that looks a lot like a fruit. I believe I will eat it because I'm very hungry, having just been born and all. So he jumped into the air in order to grab hold of the fruit and start to eat it. Now, of course, if he had reached to the sun and consumed it, that would have been the end of the solar system. There would have been no Rama. There would have been no Ravana. There would have been, everything would have been over. The Ramayana would never have been told. So Indra, the king of the gods, hit him with a thunderbolt on his jaw and knocked him down to earth. And it caused his jaw never to be quite right anymore. And the word for jaw in Sanskrit is called Hanu. And some people say that's why he's called Hanuman. Though Vimalananda used to say, really, you should not call him Hanuman, you should call him Anuman, because Anu means atom. So he's the atomic power, he is the energy, the vital energy of the entire universe, which we call in Sanskrit Prana. Or he said you can call him Hanuman, because Hana means to kill, and because he is an incarnation of Shiva, who is the destroyer of the universe. So the natural nature of Shiva is to try to destroy things. So here Shiva is born as Hanuman. He sees the sun. He thinks, I may as well destroy it. So he is prevented from destroying it. And then a rishi comes along. A rishi is a very a wise person who has great powers. And that rishi says, Hanuman, you're a great character, but you're still very young, and we don't want you to destroy the universe while you are growing up and figuring out what to do. Therefore, I'm going to cause you to forget your powers, and you are not going to remember them until someone reminds you of them. And after that, Hanuman forgot that he had all these wonderful, tremendous powers, though even with 99% of his power gone, he was still extremely powerful. In fact, he was powerful enough then when it was time for him to go to school, he did not go to the schoolhouse like all the other young monkeys in his town. He decided that because when he was born, he saw the sun. So that imprinted on him. The sun was something that was, because it was very big, it was the brightest thing in the sky, nothing to compare with it. He thought, if I'm going to learn something, I'm going to learn it from the sun. So therefore, he went and he met the sun and he said, and the sun was thinking, oh my goodness. But then the sun had been advised that Hanuman has forgotten all of that terrible, intense power for right now. So don't worry about it. Everything is fine. You're in no danger. So the sun was thinking, okay, that's good. And so Hanuman said, I would like to learn from you, please. And the sun said, well, I mean, I'm a really busy guy. And frankly, everybody in the universe relies on me to be completely reliable so that they can tell time. Because they know that I'll always rise in the east at a particular time and I'll always sit in the west. So I can't stop. What is that? How am I going to handle that situation? So Hanuman said, do not worry, O son. What I will do is I will walk backward in front of your chariot as you move through the sky every day. And you can teach me as you move through the sky every day. And so indeed it happened. And every day, Hanuman would learn a little bit more from the sun until he had learned everything the sun had to teach him. And that was an extremely satisfying thing for both the sun, who wanted to have a very good student, and Hanuman, who wanted to learn what the sun had to teach him. So in this way, Hanuman grew and was educated and was enjoying doing whatever it was that he was doing at that time. And then one day, what happened was he was wandering around in the forest and he met two unusually interesting looking human beings. Interesting in the sense that they looked very powerful, very large, but also very wise, but also very gentle and compassionate all at the same time. And he was quite impressed by this. He was so impressed that he came a little closer. And when he saw Rama and when Rama saw him, suddenly he realized, without having to think about it, without having to wonder, but without any sort of question or doubt in his mind, he knew that Rama was the man that he had to serve. And later on, he discovered that the reason why he had been born was specifically to serve Rama. And Rama was the seventh incarnation of Vishnu, the preserver of the universe. And Rama had come down, as Vishnu always does, whenever things are extremely troubled in the universe. As Krishna, incarnation number 8, says in the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthana adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya chudushkritam, dharma samsthapanarthaya, sambhavami yuge yuge. So whenever there's a problem, in order to protect the good people, destroy the bad people, I will appear on earth. I will be reborn, take incarnation from age to age, from yuga to yuga. And so Hanuman recognized that here was the only worthy person in the entire cosmos to be served. And he had been born to serve this very person. So immediately they bonded together because, of course, Rama also recognized that here was Shiva, who had been specially born in order to serve him in this job that had to be done, because Vishnu can't do without Shiva and Shiva can't do without Vishnu. They work together. They're a team. So once this happened, Hanuman immediately said, Prabhu, Lord, how may I serve you? And Rama and Lakshmana explained the whole story, that Rama had been born to become king of the city and the country of Ayodhya, and Lakshmana was one of his brothers. And just before he was going to become the king, he was forced to go with his wife Sita and with his brother Lakshmana into the forest. And they were supposed to wander in the forest for 14 years. And they had been wandering around. And it so happened that a great demon named Ravana — Ravana means the guy who howls, who makes a gigantic loud noise all the time, the howler. So Ravana came and stole Sita away. And Rama and Lakshmana were looking for Sita, because Sita was the incarnation of Lakshmi, who's the wife of Vishnu, and Vishnu and Lakshmi are always together. But here on earth, they had been separated and they had to find one another again. So Hanuman said immediately, of course, I will do anything to assist you. Let me introduce you to King Sugriva, who is the king of all the Vanaras, all the monkeys. And we'll solve this problem as quick as we can. So they met Sugriva, various things happened, and many of the Vanaras were sent out in different directions. Hanuman and another animal who was serving Rama, named Jambavant, the king of the bears, they went to the south. And as they went to the south, they were wandering around and they met a giant vulture. A vulture is a very large bird. Down in this part of the world, I'm in Texas right now, we call it a buzzard. So a giant vulture. And this giant vulture, whose name was Sampati, was able to give them some very important information, because Sampati was the brother of another giant vulture whose name was Jatayu. And Jatayu had seen what happened when Ravana was flying away in the air with Sita in his chariot. And Jatayu attacked Ravana and tried to save Sita. But Jatayu was an elderly vulture. He was not as strong as Ravana. And Ravana chopped his wings off and threw him to the ground and left him to die. So before he died, he met Sampati, was able to meet him. And Jatayu told him everything and told him that Ravana was taking Sita to Lanka. Lanka, which is an island not terribly far from the tip of South India. And Hanuman and Jambavant were extremely happy about this. And so were all the other Vanaras who were moving along. And they decided, we must immediately go to Lanka and we must find Sita. And this was, of course, what had to be done. But how would they get there? Because even though they could see Lanka, there was still the ocean in between them, and they had no boat. So one of the Vanaras said, well, I can jump this far, but that's not as far as I can get to Lanka. And the other one said, I can jump that far. And at this point, Jambavant, who had been told the story of Hanuman, at this point, Jambavant said, you know, Hanuman, I'm going to remind you right now that, in fact, you are about 100 times more powerful than you really think you are. And in fact, you are going to very easily be able to fly in the air and land on Lanka without any difficulty whatsoever. And as soon as Jambavant said that, the veil of ignorance was lifted. And suddenly Hanuman realized that, yes, I can do this. I can serve Rama in this way. So he immediately gathered all of his energy, pressed his legs against a big mountain, and caused the mountain to get all squashed because he was so powerful. And then he flew into the air and he headed off for Lanka. And on his way there, there was a giant Nagini, a giant serpent creature named Surasa, who had been sent there to test Hanuman. Why he needed to be tested at this moment is not clear, but apparently somebody or another thought he needed to be tested. You know, it's kind of like in school. Sometimes you have a sudden a pop quiz when you're not expecting it. So Hanuman was not expecting this, but here it came, and Surasa suddenly showed up in a giant form in front of him and said, "By the way, Hanuman, hello, how are you?" And it just so happens that in your destiny, you have to enter into my mouth. And Hanuman, who had now been reminded not only of how powerful he was, but how clever he was, and he could look into his destiny, and he said, "OMG, oh dear, in fact, she is right. What am I going to do?" So he thought, okay, he came up with a plan. So he made his body bigger because he had remembered that he had the power to make his body as big or as small as it needed to be for the job he needed to do. So he made his body bigger, and she made her mouth bigger, and he made his body bigger, and she made her mouth bigger, and he made his body even bigger, and she made her mouth even bigger. And just when her mouth was pretty darn big, he went from being gigantic size to being the size of a small bee, and flew right through into her mouth and right out of her mouth again without her being able to close her mouth and trap him inside. And so he said to her as he flew off, "I have performed my destiny. I have flown through your mouth. I've been in the mouth. I have left again. And now I'm continuing my job for Rama." And Surasa said, "What a great thing you've done. I give you my blessing. You're going to be very successful. Good work. Keep going." So that went along very well. And then he continued flying through the air. And then suddenly he realized he was not flying anymore. And he kept trying to go forward, but he couldn't move forward anymore. And he looked down. And when he looked down, what he saw was his shadow had been grabbed a hold of by another type of demoness whose name was Simhika, the mother of the extremely well-known and very troublesome demon Rahu. And Simhika said, "Aha, I have trapped you with your shadow, and now I'm going to have you for brunch." And Hanuman said, "You know, I don't think so. I've already had to fly into one mouth today. And so I'm going to fly into your mouth also. But you are clearly not the sort of same kind of person that Surasa was." So Hanuman flew directly into her mouth, came out directly through her stomach, flew into the mouth in a small form, came out of the stomach in a giant form, blew her to smithereens. That was the end of Simhika. And he continued on and landed on Lanka. And he quickly looked around and he saw, oh, there's a giant city over there. And is the city of, must be the city of Lanka. So he went to the door of the city of Lanka. And there was a demoness sitting there, a very powerful demoness. And her name was Lankini. And she was the guardian demoness of the city of Lanka. And she said, "Who exactly do you think you are?" And Hanuman said, "I am Hanuman. I am the servant of Rama. I have come here to find Sita. Get out of my way. I'm in a hurry." And Lankini said, "I don't know who you think you are, you overgrown hairy monkey, but I am Lankini, and I am the guardian deity of this place. And you had better hit the road or I'm going to beat you up. And Hanuman said, don't be ridiculous. And so all he did was sort of give her a glancing blow with, and she immediately fell over in an extremely bruised state. And she said, OMG, you are clearly a lot more powerful than I am. And thank you very much, because I had been cursed that I had to be the guardian of the city of Lanka until a giant monkey would come and humble me, which you have now done. Thank you. You've freed me of the curse. What a great guy you are. And may you also be successful in your endeavor. So Hanuman was feeling even better, because now he'd been blessed by two individual, very powerful goddess, demoness-like women on his way to find Sita. Now he went down to the size of an ant, and he started moving around. Of course, he didn't move at the same speed of an ant, because that would have taken him several days to move around in Lanka. But he moved around very quickly, but in very tiny size, so nobody would notice him. He looked around, He couldn't figure out what was, because there were big palaces and there were other big buildings, and he had no clue as to where Sita would be. And of course, he didn't exactly know what she looked like. And so he was kind of puzzled, but he was very fortunate, because he heard very faintly the sounds of someone worshiping Vishnu. And of course, Vishnu, Rama, is an incarnation of Vishnu. So he thought, ha, someone is worshiping Vishnu. That person will have some information that may be useful to me. So he immediately went there. And where he got to was the house of Vibhishana. And Vibhishana was Rama, one of Ravana's brothers. But he happened to be a devotee of Vishnu. And this didn't make Ravana very happy, because Ravana was ruling the universe and didn't have a very good opinion of Vishnu. But Vibhishana said, look, you know, this is a temporary thing. Vishnu is the preserver. He's the guy I'm worshiping. So Ravana, because after all, brother, you don't want to, you know, slaughter your brother unnecessarily, he said, okay, please stay away from me if you're going to worship Vishnu. So Vibhishana minded his own business and was worshiping Vishnu. Hanuman showed up, and Vibhishana said, who are you? And Hanuman said, I am Anjaneya. I have come here, and I'm looking for Sita. I'm the servant of Rama, and she has to be taken back to Rama. And Vibhishana said, you are the servant of Rama, therefore I bow down to you, because I am a great devotee of Vishnu, and Rama is the incarnation of Vishnu. I will help you in whatever way I can, and the way I can help you right now is I can tell you where Sita happens to be. And she happens to be in a place called the Ashoka Vatika. So you go down this street and you take a left here and a right here and a left here and a right there, and you go a little further, and then you go to the left again and the right again, and there you are. And of course, she's going to be surrounded by a bunch of demonesses, and they will probably be taunting her and teasing her and making her life miserable, but eventually they will go to sleep and then you can talk to her. So Hanuman said, thank you very much, Jai Ram, and went off and immediately located the Ashoka Vatika. And that word Ashoka is very interesting, because Ashoka is a type of tree in India. The leaves look like mango leaves. It doesn't really give any fruit, but it creates perfect sort of shade. Under an Ashoka tree, you know, under many trees, you'll see some shade and some light, but under an Ashoka, you're just in the shade. So the Ashoka Vatika is a place where there are a bunch of Ashoka trees, so it was nice and shady and cool, because Lanka can be hot sometimes. But Ashoka also means lack of grief. Shoka means grief, and Ashoka means no grief. So, of course, it was meant to be a place where everybody would go and enjoy themselves, but Sita was full of grief because she was separated from Rama. And because Sita and Rama are Vishnu and Lakshmi, and they're always together for ages and ages and yugas, to be separated, even temporarily, even on the earth, is a very, very traumatic thing for them. So Sita was there. And we know that they would have been connected to one another psychically and astrally. But despite being connected that way, they were not physically together at this time that they had physical bodies. And this, of course, was a most miserable thing. So Sita was full of grief, full of misery. And ironically, she was in this place called the Garden of Misery-Freeness, of no grief whatsoever. So Hanuman located her there. There she was, and she was very unhappy. And the demonesses were taunting her, but she was ignoring them because she was thinking about Rama. She was not wasting time thinking about the idiot demonesses. And finally, they all fell asleep. And then Sita was thinking to herself, and she started thinking to herself aloud, you know, it's been so many months. I haven't met Rama. I thought he would be able to find me soon, but he hasn't found me. I wonder if he will ever find me. I just don't know if I can continue anymore. I may have to simply, my feeling is so strong, I don't know if my body can take it anymore. I may not be able to survive. And of course, when Hanuman heard this, he was thinking, OMG, OMG, we can't have this happen. So in a very small voice, he said to her, Sita, Sita. And of course, she heard this and she thought, okay, there's some demoness who is not asleep, and he's in one of these trees over here, and she's trying to torment me some more. So she said, fie on you, you rapscallion demoness, leave me alone. And Hanuman said, Sita, do not fear. It is I, Hanuman. You do not know me yet, but soon you will. And I am the dedicated servant of Lord Rama. And as that dedicated servant, I, Anjaneya, have come to reassure you that as soon as I get back to India, I'm going to go and meet Rama, let him know where you are, let him know that you're well. And in fact, if you would like, I will just take you there right now, because as it turns out, I have the power to jump into the air, fly wherever I want to. And frankly, we can fly over and meet Rama. And Sita said, you demonesses, your tortures are very clever. But obviously, you don't expect me to believe that. You don't expect me to believe that you have come from nobody has come from abroad yet to locate me. So how can I possibly have the faith and confidence that you are telling me the truth when everybody has been lying to me all this time? And Anjaneya said, it just so happens that I have brought something with me. I have brought with me a token, and by this token, you will know what exactly the situation is. And so from that tree, he dropped Rama's signet ring onto the ground in front of Sita, or possibly into her hand. But probably it was a better idea to drop it on the ground so she wouldn't be scared and toss it into the bush or something. So she, kind of suspicious, naturally, she walked over, picked up the signet ring, and saw it was Rama's ring, and she knew it very well. And all of a sudden, she went from being completely despondent, from having no faith, full of grief, to having complete faith. And she said, yes, Rama is still alive. Here is his ring. we will be together again. So all of a sudden, she was completely confident again. All the doubt was gone. So Engineer said, you know, whenever you're ready to go, decide how you would like it. I can grab hold of you. You can grab hold of me and we'll fly in there. Sita said, no. It will be most appropriate for Rama to come and rescue me himself because he was born for the purpose of killing Ravana. So we've got this far. We need to let, please go back and tell him, let him come over here, let him save me and kill Ravana in the bargain. And do not worry, I will make sure that everything remains calm with me over here. Now I have no shoka anymore. I have no grief. I'm absolutely a shoka now, grief free. And don't worry about that, but please immediately go back to Ravana, to Rama, and let him know that I'm fine and I'm waiting for him, and tell him not to delay. So Anjaneya said, excellent, I will do that. But I think what I also need to do is meet Ravana myself and let him know, give him a final warning, let him know that Rama is on the way. And he can let you go right now. And if he lets you go freely, then that would be appropriate. Then he will have submitted to Rama. Then Rama can come here and control him. And that will be the end of the problem. Sita said, well, you're free to try that out. I mean, go ahead. But he's not going to listen because, at this point, I know him a lot better than you do, and he's not going to agree. Hanuman said, that's all right. At least I can report to Rama that I've met Ravana, and I know what kind of guy he is. So Sita said, okay, what are you going to do? And Hanuman said, I am going to create a little distraction here, and then I'm going to allow myself to be captured. So he created a distraction by tossing some demonesses around and uprooting a few trees. And Ravana's son, Indrajit Meghnad, came and said, what is this? Some sort of monkey creating problems in the middle of the night in the Ashoka Vatika? This will never do. So Indrajit Meghnad took the Nagapasha, the special kind of snake rope and the noose of serpents and tied Hanuman up. So Hanuman was not at all impressed by it, but he thought, okay, I'll pretend to be tied up for a while. Why not? And so they carried him to Ravana, taunting him all along the way. Hanuman was finding this tedious, but he thought, I want to meet Ravana. They got to the palace. Ravana was awakened. Meghnad said, here is this evil-doing monkey who has been creating a bunch of problems. And he was in the Ashoka Vatika, and Sita was there also. And that's the situation. So Ravana said, let him immediately be put to death. And Ravana's brother Vibhishana said, you can't do that before you find out why he's here. Ravana said, oh, all right. And so Ravana said, why are you here? And Anjaneya said, I am Anjaneya. I have come here as the messenger, the ambassador of Rama. And Rama says, please surrender Sita right now. I will take her back to him if you would like to survive. And otherwise, Rama is going to come here and slaughter you. Ravana got a big laugh out of that. Slaughter me? I ruled the entire universe. Who is this Rama character? Forget it. I don't know who he thinks he is, but if he can actually get over here, let him come and show me what kind of strength he's got. Now put him to death. Vibhishana said, wait. You can't do that because he is an ambassador, he is a messenger, and you're not allowed to kill the messenger. Ravana said, "Drat, I want to kill the messenger." "All right. But we must afflict him in some way, because that is our job. We are Rakshasas. We must afflict." And so he thought about it. And then he said to himself, rhetorically, "What is that part of the body that the monkey is most impressed by and that they're proudest of? Wait, it is the tail. Therefore, oh, my minions, collect a bunch of rags, soak them in oil, wrap them around his tail, set them alight, and let his tail be incinerated to show him just how powerful I am." And so it happened. They wrapped a bunch of rags around, applied a bunch of oil, ignited it, and once the tail was burning brightly, Hanuman broke the Nagapasha very easily, whoop, and expanded himself to a giant size, said, "You're going to regret this, Ravana. You had your chance. I gave you a chance. And this is going to be the end for you. But I'm going to go back and tell Rama, and you've been a very naughty character. And this is a bad ending is going to happen to you. But first, I'm going to let you see what's in store for you." So he jumped out of the palace, breaking it into pieces as he went directly through the roof. And then he wandered through Lanka, flying around, using his burning tail to set fire to the entire place. And the entire place burned down, except the Ashoka Vatika, in which Sita was there. She was protected. He made sure not to burn that area down, but he burned everything else down. And despite the fact that his tail was on fire, he felt nothing but a cool breeze sensation from his tail, because Sita was reciting mantras in the Ashoka Vatika to keep the tail cool so the fire would not burn it. Once Hanuman had finished burning down Lanka and chuckling to himself, he jumped into the air. He landed back in India. He met Jambavant and the other Vanaras. He said, "Success is ours. I found Sita. I burned down Lanka. Everything is great." They went back. They met Rama. They said, "Sita is over there. All we have to do is go over there, and then we will be able to conquer the place, and you will be able to kill Ravana, get Sita back. Everything will be great." And Rama said, "That's absolutely great. All we need now is an army." So with the help of Sugriva and Jambavant, they collected together an army of Vanaras, of monkeys, and of bears. So they had an army of monkeys and bears. They marched down to the seashore at what is now Rameshwaram in South India. And they got to the seashore, and there was the ocean. And now remember, Rama is the incarnation of Vishnu. So he requests the ocean for assistance. But the ocean is feeling not like assisting him, because the ocean had been greatly tormented during a previous avatar of Vishnu, the Kurma avatar, when the ocean was churned. And the ocean was very much afflicted by this churning. And so Lakshmana, who was very hot-headed, said, "I am going to shoot a fire arrow into the ocean and burn up the entire ocean, and we will walk to Lanka." And Rama said, "Please calm down, brother Lakshmana. We don't need to do that." And Rama said, "Look, O ocean, I know you're pissed off. I know that the affliction did occur, but we don't want the world to be afflicted by Ravana either, now do we? So let's think of a way in which we can both have satisfaction here." So the ocean agreed that it would be okay if a bridge was built from India to Lanka. So that process, the bridge building started immediately. That process was called the Setu Bandha. Setu means bridge and Bandha means building. And because they didn't have, this was a long, long time ago, they didn't have fancy engineering, they didn't have cement trucks, they didn't have all kinds of steel and concrete and stuff like that. They had rocks. So what Rama did is he would inscribe his name on the rock. And with the power of that name, the rocks would actually float. The ocean said, okay, I will allow the rocks to float as long as they have the name of Rama on them. So everybody started writing the name of Rama, and the bridge was being built. And Rama thought, well, you know, I think I will try this out myself. So he wrote his own name on the rock and he threw it into the water. And lo and verily, it sank to the bottom of the ocean. And Rama was feeling very unclear about the whole situation because everybody else's rock was floating and his rock was falling down. And so he looked over at Anjaneya, and Anjaneya said, oh, great Rama, you, after all, are the king of the universe. If you throw a rock into the ocean, it will have to behave according to its own natural rockness, which is to sink. Everyone else is doing things in your name. You, on the other hand, you are the one in whose name everything is being done. When you do something, it has to cooperate according to the way that things always happen in the world. But this is a different situation because your name is supreme. And that's why we say in Jaya Hanuman, Rama Nama Rasyade. He gets all, Hanuman and Janaya gets all of his juice from the name of Rama. Anyway, the bridge is built. The army goes over there. There's a bunch of fighting. Lots of fighting. At one point, Meghanad again strikes with the Nagapasha, and he strikes down Lakshmana, Rama's brother. And Lakshmana is as dear to Rama as life itself. And now Rama is thinking, oh my God, if Lakshmana is going to die, I'm not sure if I can go on or not. And so Lakshmana is in a coma, and his situation doesn't look good. So Anjaneya asks Vibhishana. Vibhishana has meanwhile defected from Rama and come to Rama, because Vibhishana said, this business of not letting go of Sita and trying to destroy Anjaneya, this is not correct. This is against Dharma. This is against the principles of being a good king, and you're going to regret it, Ravana. Goodbye. So Vibhishana has come with Rama back to Lanka, and Vibhishana says there is a famous physician. His name is Sushena, and he may be able to save. He's the only guy who can save Lakshmana. So Anjaneya jumps into Lanka, finds Sushena, grabs him, brings him back, and says, now what do we do? And Sushena looks at Lakshmana, takes his pulse, examines the omens and says, there's only one hope, and that is the Sanjeevani plant, the herb named Sanjeevani. Sanjeevani means brings back to life. And it is growing on a particular mountain in the Himalaya. You must get that mountain and bring it back before dawn, or Lakshman will pass on. And so Anjaneya says, do not worry, I'll be back in a trice. And so he jumps into the air, heads directly for the Himalaya, which is many thousands of kilometers to the north. He's flying along. There is a demon named Kala Nemi who tries to distract him and slow him down. He's slaughtered. And there is some distance that he has to cover. But finally, he gets to the Himalaya. He finds this mountain and he looks for the herb, but of course there are thousands of herbs on the mountain. He thinks, I don't have time for this. I haven't seen the herb. I don't know how to find it. So he uproots the entire mountain, and now he is holding the mountain in the palm of one hand, and he is flying through the air with another one, and he's headed back to Lanka, when suddenly he is struck by an arrow in his thigh and he falls down to the ground. And he's a little surprised by this. And He looks around and he sees someone coming with him, towards him, carrying a bow, looking a lot like Rama, and saying, "Who do you think you are? You must be sort of some sort of demon. Who else can fly in the air? I'm not. You're carrying a giant mountain. This doesn't look good. I am Bharata. I am the regent of Rama. Until Rama comes back, I am acting as the king, but I am not the king. I'm only acting in Rama's stead." And Anjaneya says, "Well, as it turns out, Rama, Sita has been kidnapped by Ravana the demon, and Rama and Lakshmana have gone off to with the army of bears and monkeys, and Lakshmana's been damaged, and I have to get this back to him before dawn, because otherwise that will be the end of Lakshmana, and that may be the end of Rama, and then everything will be all messed up." And Bharat says, "OMG, I've made a great error. Here, get on my arrow, and I will send you immediately to Rama." And Anjaneya says, "Thank you very much. But I mean, you know, the only reason why your arrow could bring me down is because you shot that arrow with the name of Rama. So the name of Rama had to be, I had to respect the name of Rama and allow that arrow to shoot me down. But now that you're giving me permission, I can go on my own power. And besides, I know where I'm going and you don't. So it'll be better if I go." And so they salute one another. Anjaneya, who is now a bit lame, and there is even in India an image of Anjaneya, I believe in Girnar, called Langade Lal, the lame Hanuman. So Hanuman is flying along, gets to where Rama and Lakshman are. Sushena finds the herb, brings Lakshman back to life. Lakshman is happy. Rama is happy. Anjaneya is happy. Vibhishana is happy. Everybody is happy except Ravana, of course, who was hoping that this would save his chestnuts from the fire. But it was not to be. So now there's another big battle, and Rama is perforating Ravana with arrows, but none of them are able to destroy him until Vibhishana finds out where that from a complicated scenario involving Ravana's wife Mandodari, finds out exactly the place that has to be targeted. Rama targets that place. The arrow goes there unswervingly. Ravana falls over, whack, and that is the end of Ravana. And he is then incinerated, and Vibhishana becomes the king of Lanka. Rama and Sita are reunited, and they all go in a giant airplane called the Pushpaka Vimana back to Ayodhya. And once they get back to Ayodhya, Rama becomes the king, and Lakshman serves him, and Sita is his wife. And then Hanuman continues to serve Rama until it's time for Rama to pass on. And when it's time for Rama to pass on, Rama says, "Oh, Anjaneya, I am mortal. I shall die. My name will live on. Ramanama will live on. But I have been born as a mortal, and I'm going to die as a mortal. But you are not mortal. You are immortal. And you, I'm going to request you to remain here on earth and assist people from now until the end of time. Yavat Chandra Divakaro, until as long as the sun and the moon exist." And that's a pretty long time. So ever since then, Hanumana, Anjaneya, has been there. And he has been met. Many people, many excellent people have met him, including Bhima from the Mahabharata, who was one of the five Pandava brothers. And Bhima was the son of the god of wind. Hanuman was the son of the god of wind. So they were half brothers. And there's an interesting story in the Mahabharata that Bhima is in the Himalaya one day, and his wife asks him to get some flowers. So he's wandering around looking for some flowers. And Anjaneya has, of course, has been paying attention to what's going on in the world and knows that what's happening, and knows that Vishnu has been born again as Krishna, the eighth avatar of Krishna, and wants to assist Krishna, wants to serve Krishna as he served Rama. And so he decides that he will let Bhima tell this to Krishna, but first he is going to teach Bhima a useful lesson, because Bhima is very powerful, but he has a very high opinion of his power, an opinion that is too high. So Anjaneya takes on the form of a very aged, infirm, decrepit monkey and lies across the path that Bhima is walking along. And Bhima comes to him and says, oh, aged monkey, you are lying across my path. I need to go and find some flowers. Would you mind moving away? And Anjaneya says, well, I'm a very aged monkey, and I simply can't move. I'm exhausted. But if you can just move my tail out of the way, you'll be able to get around and then get through. And Bhima is thinking, oh my God, now I have to grab hold of this aged monkey's tail. Who knows what kind of fleas and other things are on it? And oh my God, oh well, such is my destiny. So he grabs hold of the tail and thinks he's going to be able to move it very easily. And of course, he can move it not even one nanometer, much less a millimeter or a micron. And so he is there trying to move it and applies all of his energy and cannot move it even in the slightest. And then he starts to realize that this is not an ordinary aged decrepit monkey. This is something out of the ordinary. And he starts to think, wait a minute, there was an ancient monkey back in the time of Rama, long, 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 long ago. Could it possibly be Anjaneya? Yes, said Anjaneya. Yes, you have come up. Yes, very good. You have figured out who I am. And I just wanted to let you know, we're bros. You know, you're the son of the god of wind. I'm the son of the god of wind. You're very strong, but remember, however strong you are, there's always going to be somebody stronger than you are. So don't get the big head. Remain calm. And please let Krishna know that at the time of the Mahabharata war, I will come and I will be on his chariot. I will be in the form of a flag on his chariot, and I will protect the entire chariot and Arjuna, who is going to be the warrior. Krishna will be the charioteer. And so it happened, and thus the Mahabharata war was won by Krishna and Arjuna and their group. And ever since then, Hanuman has appeared to other individuals and has been incarnated again as Samartha Ramdas, for example. He appeared to Tulsi Das. He's appeared to many devotees. And he is always ready to serve Rama. And if you invoke him in the name of Rama, he will always be willing to assist you to move your awareness further and further in the direction of Rama. So just as we began, we're going to again sing the happy birthday song, Jaya Hanuman. And we're going to thank Anjaneya for sitting here in the banana grove while we recited his stories. And we're going to ask him to please swastanagacha, return to where you normally go. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And please bless us with the always having the memory of Rama in our hearts. There was the final thing we will mention about Hanuman is one day somebody said something asking who Hanuman really was, you know, what was Hanuman really about? And Janaya tore open his chest, and inside the chest, instead of a heart, there was the image of Rama right there. So Hanuman Anjaneya is completely devoted to Rama in the same way that the prana, the life force in the body, is completely devoted to the Supreme Reality. And therefore, Jaya Hanuman Ati Ballavana Ramanam Rasiyare Prabhu Mana Basiyare Jaya Hanumana Ati Ballavana Ramanam Rasiyare Prabhu Mana Basiyare Jai Jai Raghuvira Samarth. Reality, always focus on that, and that will guide you through this very bizarre time that we are living in right now. How old is Hanuman? Well, that's a good question. How old is Rama? I would say nobody knows, though Vimalananda was of the opinion that Rama lived somewhere between 100,000 and a million years ago. So I would say Hanuman is pretty darn old. What is the best way to practice our daily devotion towards Hanumanji? A good way is to sing. You can sing Jai Hanuman. You can sing Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram. That's very good. You can read the Ramayana. There are many Ramayanas in India. You can read, if you can't read the whole Ramayana, read the Sundarakand. If you can't read that, even take one verse out of it. And if you can't do even one verse, just use the name of Ram, as they say in Sanskrit. Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Mano Rame Sahasranama Tatulyam Ramanama Varanane. If you can't read the entire 1,000 names of Vishnu, just recite the name of Rama. Will the daily chanting of the Hanuman Chalisa truly heal health problems and diseases? Yes, it actually can do that. How long will it take? That we don't know. If it's a simple problem, it may take a small amount of time. If it's a complicated problem, it could take a long, long time. But absolutely, it is going to give you a good result, because what you will do is you will be getting the prana to move properly. And when the prana is moving properly, all will be well. Relation between Hanuman and the Navagraha. Saturn is pacified through Hanuman prayers. What about the other planets? If Saturn is pacified, then everything is great. So again, Hanuman represents prana. If your prana is calm and focused, whatever happens, you're going to be able to deal with it, and you'll continue focusing on the Supreme Reality and have faith in it, no matter what happens. Hanuman, of course, when Saturn came to him. The reason why his tail had to catch on fire was because Saturn comes for everybody. Saturn is the force that causes you to experience what you would have preferred not to experience. So Saturn came to Hanuman and said, "Now I'm going to throw my drishti on you. You better bow down." And Hanuman said, "You know, I'm busy serving Rama." So he took his tail and kept shunning Saturn down so Saturn could not do anything. And Saturn could not do anything to Hanuman, except that he could arrange for his tail to be set on fire, because it was the tail that touched Saturn. But Sita arranged it so that, in fact, nothing happened to the tail. Therefore, worship Hanuman and all will be taken care of. How are Hanuman and Shiva related? Hanuman is regarded as being the incarnation of Shiva. Vimalananda used to call him the Ekadasha Rudra, the 11th of the Rudras. So he's an incarnation of Shiva. a mantra for Anjaneya, which we can offer in Homa. I use a mantra of my own that I don't ever speak aloud, but I use the Chalisa, and if not the Chalisa, Sri Ram, J Ram, J J Ram. I think you can use, there are abundant mantras that one can use, but those are the two I use. Why was Hanuman a monkey? That's a good question. And it's very likely, in fact, that he was not completely a langur. I mean, it makes sense that he would, if he was a monkey, that he'd be a langur instead of a lal bandar, who were nalayak. the word that they use is vanara. Va means either or, and nara means human. So a vanara would really suggest that somebody who was almost human, but not quite human, which is why Vimalananda said this could have been even a million years ago, because it's very likely that this happened at a time that there was a previous race of hominids, like Homo erectus, for example, and Rama showed up and said, I'm going to bless you, that you actually turn into humans. So that's how Vimalananda looked at it, that they were proto-humans, not really monkeys, but simians. You know, they were primates, but proto-humans, and they just needed Rama's blessing to become you and me, actual humans, even though we're not really humans to the same degree that Rama and Lakshman and so on were humans. Did the Ramayana happen on Hanuman's birthday? Well, I mean, the Ramayana took a long time to happen. And there is a tradition that says that Hanuman was born about the time of Rama, but Rama was born 6 days earlier. So Ram Navami is when Rama was born. Hanuman was born 6 days later. Why would Sita and Rama allow themselves to be separated? Well, that's a really good question. And a lot of people have tried to figure that out. I think one reason is because there was some previous karmas that had to be dealt with in this way. And why did they have to be dealt with in that way? I mean, people have tried to explain it in so many ways. And I don't know. In this situation, I think your guess is about as good as mine is. Hanuman is alive and immortal. If this is true and has special significance, how do we approach his grace in our life? The best way is simply to request him to assist us always to be focused on the supreme reality, and he will assist us to focus on Rama, and that's the best thing we can do. How can we become disciplined or break the laziness cycle? The best way to do that is every time you realize you're being lazy, again, return your attention to the thing that is assisting you not to become lazy. So if you're doing puja of Hanuman and you're becoming lazy, even just recite one mantra, even just recite Rama once, if that's all you can do, and keep moving forward however long it takes. Don't think about time, just keep moving forward. Did Hanuman give any mantra to the residents of the Himalaya? That's a really good question, where he lifted Dronagiri. Don't know. I would, if I ever get to Dronagiri and find any residents who have a connection back to them, I'll certainly try to find out. Can you share the story of Hanuman and Machindranath? Maybe at some point, but that's a long story. In fact, I'm currently trying to translate very, very slowly, no doubt, the Navnat Bhakti Sara, in which there is an extended story between Hanuman and Machindranath. And at some point, not today, maybe I will, in fact, share that story. Have I met Hanumanji? Well, that would be great. But if I had met Hanumanji, there's every likelihood that I would be over there instead of over here. So have I met somebody who personally has met Hanumanji? Vimalananda told me he did, and I definitely believe that he did so. Is he more accessible than other deities in some way? In the way that I believe that he is immortal, in the sense that, I mean, immortal, he's a siddha, he can create a body whenever he wants to. So he is in a way tethered to this plane of existence, but he's not limited in the same way you and I are. So I think probably he's a bit more accessible in the same way that Ganapati is more accessible, also because Ganapati is part human and part elephant, and therefore connected, more connected to humans than a lot of these other deities are. Can I comment on the height of Hanuman and the height of humans during those times? Vimalananda told me that Rama and Lakshman and so on were like 30 feet tall. And Hanuman, of course, could take whatever size he wanted to. So I'm going to assume that when he was around Rama, he was probably 30 feet tall. If Hanumanji was so powerful, why couldn't he help Sugriva in defeating Vali? Well, there's a good question. I think possibly it has to do with the fact that Vali was so powerful that he could actually put, was it Vali or was it who put Ravana under his arm? Or was that Sasra Arjuna? Anyway, Vali was very powerful. And remember, that happened before Hanuman remembered exactly how powerful he was. So I think probably it's something like that. I mean, he was powerful, but Vali at that time was more aware of how more powerful he was. That's my current opinion. What's the relationship between Rama and Ravana? Ooh, that's a long story, but it has to do with the fact that Vishnu had two doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijaya, and they couldn't recognize the four Sanat Kumaras, and they were about to curse him, and Vishnu came out and pacified them and said to Jaya and Vijaya, I have to curse you now. And they said, oh my God, don't do that. And they said, I've already done it, but you are going to be born as demons and I'm going to kill you and then everything will be better. Basically, the end. But I mean, that's a very short version of it. Do you think the separation of Sita and Rama have something to do with their turning back to God again and again? Absolutely, because Sita represents Kundalini Shakti. Rama represents the supreme reality. Sita is down in Lanka at the base of the spine. She has to return to Rama. So everything that happened externally is happening internally in the human body also. Does Sita merge with Rama through pranayama? Prana is certainly necessary to assist Sita to return to Rama, but the Kundalini has a number of layers. The prana is a little more dense than the most subtle version of the Kundalini. So prana makes the facilitates the creation of the conduit in which Kundalini can emerge. So Hanuman assists Sita to do it, but Rama himself has to get to Sita to move up. Can you speak to the relationship of Rama and the Bija Mantra Rama of the second chakra? By second, I suppose you mean the Anahata chakra. Well, Rama is definitely Rambija, the fire. Actually, no, what am I saying is the third chakra. I think that's a little too complicated for right now. Has Rama died? Rama absolutely did die and went into the Sarayu River. He died after Lakshman had to give up his life because of a complicated bahana. There is a story that, of course, Rama died in this Dwapara Yuga, and many people believe that Rama appears every Dwapara Yuga. Some people believe that he doesn't appear every Dwapara Yuga, but he appears every Kalpa. But definitely there have been many, many Ramas, and there have been many, many Ravanas. And the principle of Hanuman has always been there. And sometimes he's aware of who he is, and sometimes he's not aware of who he is, and he has to be reminded. But that principle, that prana is always there in the same way that prana is the life force that has been keeping things alive on this earth for the past approximately 4.1 billion years. So since that's the end of all the questions, I'm going to say Jai Hanuman, Om Namah Shivaya, and I wish everybody a very happy Hanuman Jayanti, and we'll see you again another time. Om.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What would you like to get off your chest right now? Are you feeling lonely, unappreciated, or misunderstood? When you keep these feelings bottled up, they can affect you negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and work through whatever is weighing you down. It's a great way to increase your self-awareness, change negative thought patterns, and more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/beherenow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/beherenow.